As an investor, in addition to your home, you may own investment property of some sort. But have you ever considered investing in farmland? Well, our guest today is going to tell us why we should consider adding some farmland to our portfolios. Coming up on this edition of Your Money Manual with Vince Annable. And now from his Scottsdale office, here's the host of Your Money Manual, the CEO of Wealth Strategies Advisory Group and creator of the Household Endowment Model, Vince Annable.
Hello and welcome to another installment of Your Money Manual, the educational program we created for you because we know when it comes to investing, your money doesn't come with instructions. Our objective is to provide you with a fresh perspective on wealth management that will help you grow, preserve, and protect your assets so you can build the secure financial legacy all of you and your heirs deserve. Along with my producer, Jeff Allen, I'm Vince Annable, and today we're going to continue to talk about alternative investments, specifically real estate, but not just any real estate. We're going to talk about farmland. And to help us do that, I'm joined on the phone by Mr. David Gladstone, founder and CEO of the Gladstone Companies and president of Gladstone Land Corporation, a public farmland real estate investment trust. Throughout his career, he has led, directed, and advised a number of highly recognized organizations and investment committees. He's also co-authored two books on financing for small and medium-sized businesses. And Mr. Gladstone holds an MBA from Harvard Business School. So, David Gladstone, welcome to Your Money Manual. We really appreciate you being here today.
Well, thank you very much. It's quite an honor to be on your show. Your Money Manual is excellent information for people that are investing. Of course, one of the areas that we're in, known as alternatives, we actually have four alternative funds, and we're about $2.5 billion and about 60-some people here in McLean, Virginia, as well as offices around the United States. In the fund that you like, called Gladstone Land, we have a number of securities there. First of all, let me just give you a quick overview. We own farmland and farm-related facilities, but almost everything that we own is just dirt. And so it's planted in either different kinds of lettuce and tomatoes and strawberries and blueberries and all those kind of things, as well as some trees. And the trees are wonderful in that they give us blueberries and nuts, and as well as cherries and apples and those kind of things. So these are triple net lease bases. We own the farm. We don't farm them. We actually turn around and lease them out to farmers. And they pay us rent. They pay the insurance on the properties, the maintenance, and the taxes. So it's a triple net lease kind of orientation. We currently have about 85 farms, over 75,000 acres. We're in 10 different states, and about $650 million, and I think we're over 97% of all of our farms are leased, and if they're not leased right now, they're getting close to being rented by the farmers for the new season that'll come up this spring in many of the locations. We are using our farmland primarily to grow healthy foods such as fruits and vegetables and nuts. We're not in the middle of the United States with more than, I think we have two farms that are in wheat and barley and corn and those kind of things. So as a result, we're in the fresh fruits and vegetables, the healthy foods, and those are the kind of things that we like to be in. So you can buy the common stock. It's traded on NASDAQ. It's under the symbol LAND. But we also have a Series B preferred stock that we're also selling, and that's wonderful because the coverage ratio, that is how many dollars of income do you have coming in to meet the dividend, which is 6%, is about 4 or 5 to 1 these days. So well covered. As I always like to say, this is the stock that you can put in your mother-in-law's account and not have to worry about it because it will be it'll be a long time before we lose that much money, if we ever do. So from my standpoint, This is a registered, non-listed preferred that will be traded somewhere down the road, and we expect the Series B preferred stock to then be transferred over to NASDAQ and be trading there. There is a selling commission for people who are selling. I won't go into that part of it. And the cash flow from these farms is just wonderful, because the farmer for eons has been renting farmland, if he didn't already own it, from people just like us. And so this is a well-traded area where farmland is rented and rented out to people that need this. We have historically outpaced inflation with our dividend increases, and it's been quite successful so far. But I'm going to hold up right here and get some questions from you.
Really, what's your process for investment selection, and why did you choose farmland and decide to launch your first farmland REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust?
Sure. I come out of the public offering area. Our other three funds are public. And some time ago, back in 1997, I purchased from one of the large companies a group of farms in California and some in Florida. And we were a large grower of strawberries and blueberries and those kind of things. And it was quite nice, but I looked at that, and we had some 55,000 Mexican-American workers, and it was a lot of things going on. So I decided that I really liked the idea of owning the farms but not farming them. So I became a landlord only rather than a landlord and a farmer. And these farms have just been sitting there producing money. And I like that part of the business. Now, it doesn't produce as much money as it would if we were the farmers, but we don't want the risk of farming. And so as a result, we just go out and get some of the farmers. And I met many farmers during that period of time. And when the time came in 2004, we sold the operating part of the business to the folks at Dole, and they became our largest and really at that point in time were our only tenant. Now we have dozens and dozens of tenants in different places and all of that. So I like this model, and the more I thought about it, I said, gee, why don't I just take this public? There's no way for people to own farmland. And you have all of these people buying farmland that are multimillionaires. Warren Buffett's son is probably one of the largest, and we have a number of others that names you'd recognize. I love what Warren says about farmland, that he'd rather own all the farmland in the United States than all the gold in the world, because he likes assets that produce dividends and produce cash flow, and that's what we have. So we looked at this model and said to ourselves, we think we can make money for shareholders this way, and we can pay dividends, and we do pay a monthly dividend on both our common and our Series B preferred. And at 6%, it's pretty nice to sit there a day in and day out and not have a big downside. If you looked at the world of farming, there are a number of things that are driving it. One, of course, is that the arable land per capita worldwide, we're down to from 1.1 acre per person down to a half an acre per person. And all that does is put a lot of pressure on the opportunity for farmland to appreciate, and it has been appreciating at a really good pace over the last 10 years. If you looked at the statistics from an organization called NCREIF that does a farmland index, the average return has been 12.2%, whereas the REIT index has been about 9.5%. And the S&P 500 during that same period of time was about 10.4. So as you look at that, you say, what's the difference? Well, the difference is in 2007, 2008, the farmland index didn't go positive. So if you needed to get out, you could get out at a decent price, whereas the farmland index compared to, say, the REIT index was down by about 38%. So as you look at that, we said to ourselves, we think this would be a wonderful opportunity for people to buy in. And that's sort of an overview of how we got into this area and why we like it.
I know that our clients certainly do appreciate getting a 6% dividend. Let's talk about the selection. What is the process you use when you choose the right farmland, and what separates the best investments in farmland from the others?
Yeah, that's a good one, and it's easy to answer. As you look at farmland, there's these three giant categories. First is, of course, primarily our focus is on fresh produce, and that's an area into itself. And this would be all the berries that you think about, blues and blacks and strawberries and raspberries, as well as all the vegetables from cauliflower to all of the lettuces, any of those kind of crops are the kind of things that we're interested in. Vegetables and fruits are our primary area. And then we went into the, if you will, the permanent crops. And these are based on trees. And there we have almonds and we have pistachios. We just bought a large cot farm. So you look at that, we've got apples and cherries and all these tree fruits. And again, those are wonderful things to have in your portfolio. And what we have avoided, and there's a good reason for it, is corn and wheat and soybean due to the lack of profitability in those crops these days. And there's just too much corn and wheat and soy all over the world, and they've driven down prices. And so as a result, we've really stayed out of that. Now, that's a big area. So if it ever comes back, we could jump into that. There's about 22,000 farms in that category. If you looked at the fresh produce area, there's only about 3,000 farms, but that's plenty for us. It's about $15 billion worth of farmland. And then if you looked at the bushes and the orchards and the vines like grapes, about 6,000 farms there and about $33 billion worth. So we've got plenty of room to run. There's about, if you looked at the numbers, there's about 80% of those are owned by individuals rather than institutions. You have a lot of pension funds and insurance companies that buy these assets. But those are divided into very few large landholders. You see people like Harvard buying up vineyards and those kind of things. These are people who have long-term needs and they want to know that their assets are not going to depreciate much. Doesn't mean that they can't depreciate. It's just if you have a big diversified portfolio, you're not gonna go wrong. Now, the one thing we're always looking for, obviously, with being in the business that we're in, is water access. We won't buy any farm in California or almost any place else. We have a few in the Midwest that a little bit of dry farming where we're dependent on rain for our crops. But generally speaking, 95% of everything we have has farm water access. It's either from ponds or it's from wells that we've drilled. And a lot of the California farms are fed by the effluent that comes off of the cities. And that effluent goes into processing plants where it's turned into potable water. And we have turnouts on a lot of our farms so that you can easily get the water out to the farms. So water is key. Then price volatility. Many of the commodity crops are really volatile, whereas a lot of ours aren't not that volatile. Government dependency, we try to stay away from anything that's involved in government dependency because you just never know whether those fellows and ladies are going to do something silly and not be there when you need them. We also don't like the storage costs that you see in commodities because you actually harvest them, you put them in a dryer, and then you've got to store them while you sell them off. So storage costs are things that we don't like. We are, again, just in these fresh produce things where, and if you went into a grocery store and you looked around at the produce section, that's the crops that we're producing. These this primary focus on annual fresh produce is really the centerpiece of what we do, and we've added to it the permanent tree crops, things like blueberries and nuts and apples and peaches and those kind of things. And transaction size, we're looking at anywhere from small of $2 million, which would be next to something we already own, up to $50 million. We don't like those massive farms where you've got 20,000-30,000 acres at a time. So lease terms are usually 5 to 10 years, and rental payments are fixed. And in some cases, we participate in the upside. That is, once the farmer's made some money, we have a claim of, say, 10 or 15% of that gross revenue, because that's part of the way that we finance ourselves. So tenant farmers are corporations, a lot of independent tenant farmers, usually the largest of them. And again, if you went into the supermarket, now that would be where you'd find our produce, not with our name on it, but with our tenant's name on it. And the other reason for being there is that fresh produce versus the consumer price index has inflated at a much higher rate and a quicker pace than the normal price index. And that's good for us. It's good for our customers, like the farmers. And so we can raise prices on our land when we've got water and things are going up. It's just a wonderful opportunity for us.
I'll tell you what, that was an exciting overview on why farmland, why Gladstone's included in our household endowment model. David, thank you so much for joining us today on the program. It's been a great conversation. I know our listeners have received some very valuable information. I appreciate very much your time and would love to have you come back and expand on some of what you have the ability to educate our listeners on. Thanks so much, David.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and I'm glad to come back and explain where we are. Hopefully we'll be much larger and moving much faster next time we talk to you.
Well, we think it was a great show today, and if you would like some more information on our company and the household endowment model, please visit our website, www.thehouseholdendowmentmodel.com, or go to wasagaz.com, the official website of Wealth Strategies Advisory Group. You can also give us a call, 888-635-9724. So we've got some upcoming shows. They're going to be exciting, a lot of information. If you are a physician or you have one, you might recommend they chime in over the next couple of weeks. We're going to be discussing wealth management strategies for physicians and dentists. We're going to talk about succession planning for business owners, how to ensure that you're going to move on assets and businesses where you want those assets to go. And I want to say thank you to our audience. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.
If you'd like to learn more about the Gladstone Land Corporation, that's the farmland REIT Vince and David Gladstone just talked about, you're encouraged to visit gladstonefarms.com. Be sure to connect with us and follow us at Wealth Strategies Advisory Group and the Household Endowment Model on Facebook and LinkedIn. In addition to the Wealth Strategies Advisory Group website, Your Money Manual is part of the Star Worldwide Networks and is also available on iTunes. We hope you enjoyed this edition of Your Money Manual with Vince Annable, and we hope you'll join us again. Until then, take care. This program has been presented for the education of our listeners only and is not intended as investment advice, nor is it intended as a solicitation of investment products or services of any kind. We encourage you to seek the advice of a licensed professional financial advisor before making any investment decisions.